For this sermon today, I practiced on Tampa last week, so you get the real McCoy, hopefully. It's on the subject of building character. Can you see that why easily enough? Building godly character is the most important thing for us. There are some matters in life that are very important, but this lasts a lifetime. This lasts for eternity. It is highly important then that we understand that. I'm getting ahead of myself a little here. Anybody in here done PowerPoint before? Can you come up here a moment? This is so thorough. I have notes at the bottom, but I don't know how to show just the slide and not in my notes as well. I'm left-handed. So if I do this, and if I go back...
So your page to home is for the next slide. You want to have it on slide view or notes view?
Well, slides to the screen and notes to me. Impossible, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to see it all.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, here comes my other assistant.
I never actually set it up before, but let me see.
I thought you had set it up this way. It's all your fault.
Yes, it's my fault.
I can make my... I know this topic so well, I could do it with just the pictures, I think.
Oh, you're a left-handed person. Most works differently. Okay. Okay.
How many other people know about PowerPoints out there?
Oh, dear.
So I'm going to have, next time I do this, all four of you come over? That's okay. I'll make... Let me just go for what's in my head and what's on the screen.
Okay. Well, what we can do is close the... Because you have your notes.
I have notes.
Great.
I have notes.
All right.
Let me just get make sure they're in order.
We can just do it in this format, then. Just check all of it to make sure it's okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right.
In the subject of character,
would you like to see?
I'll take care of it.
Okay.
I'll do the whole thing.
All right.
In the subject of character, and now that you understand I am one, Nothing will last longer than what you do with the decisions you make today. Now, I've gone to, as you can see, some lengths trying to make this more real to you. It is fundamental and as timeless as the last sermon I gave to you on commitment. This is what the nuts and bolts of our lives are all about, whether or not we have character. Now, you know that God is a family, and God is seeking for us to be part of His family. We know that He made man in His image. Yet one component just wasn't there. Character. Satan knew that. And temptation now comes on the horizon. We are so unique in all of that creation in Eden that it's marvelous indeed, that creation, but we are so very unique that we are the ones that can develop holy, righteous character and be part of eternity. Building character allows us to willfully develop the character of God, or willfully develop what we want in our lives as to our realities and dreams. When we build character, we go through a transformation of what is selfish and what we have been exposed to from Satan, and we can develop that within ourselves. But also in God's Word, there's the clear command that we're letting our light shine, that we're the salt of the earth, that we have to understand we are working with mankind and we're giving them an example so they can grow too when their time of understanding arrives. God doesn't work with all mankind right now, but He does work with a few. Now, there are many religions on the face of this earth that really think that they know the Lord and that people are saved. Well, if people are saved, then why all of these resurrections? A question that deserves an answer. Well, our loving Father has provided a roadmap for us to develop that character, and that is what I want to talk to you about today. Because in our midst, and maybe even in our midst right here now, in this room, in this assembly, we may not have everyone on board the same boat. Now, we're all in the same room, and we more than likely think we're all in the same boat, but you're going to have to find in your judgment whether or not you were there. God knows that man's way is bankrupt, but not all of us have totally come to that knowledge. We've done things, we've done ritual things, we've taken Passovers, we've been baptized, and there's nothing more ritualistic than that. But we may not really be part of the family of God, developing holy, righteous character. I call them weekend Christians. Now, the world is in a crisis. The last 24 hours have shown us that for too sure. And it is wise that we pray for all mankind. God loved all mankind. He loved the world so much that He gave us His Son. And when you consider what is going to come to America, this is only a taste that those Parisians endure. You and I must get down to the work of changing. Satan has the spiral going down. Now, I've got here a slide showing the Great Wall of China. I tell you that it's been breached by enemies who bribed the gatekeepers. Three times it was thought to be something people would never get through. 13,170 miles long. Three times it was breached because the gatekeepers were bribed. They didn't have good character. I've spoken to you before about your walls, your doors, your windows. And there is one that those systems of protection for you can be breached if he bribes you well enough. And just like that great wall that chariots can run upon, men can patrol, it was breached because people let down. They didn't have character. How many times we find that in the quiet stories about world wars and who did what to whom and how come the enemy got in. One of the very famous example of that is Babylon. It fell because everybody was at the party. The enemy dammed up the river, came in under the gates, and while there were walls separating the one side of the city from the other, nobody was guarding them, and they waltzed right in. Good character traits. Cleanliness, neatness, punctuality, reliabilities. These are the things you want in your employees. Considerate, courteous, honesty, hardworking, industrious, trustworthy, dedicated, leadership, inspiring others. Good quotes to think about, to put on the desk, that this is what you want to be. You as an employer, if you be that, want these in the interviews that you perform. These are good character traits. Do we have them? As man continues on in his own futile way, you and I must do something with our own lives. You and I are very unique. We have a responsibility, and we must be very responsible with what we have been given. You must build godly character and also nurture those that are closest to us. Most of us have children, if not grandchildren. It is your responsibility to introduce the subjects of holy, righteous character to your family. If you don't, what Christ said about two in the field and one is taken and one is left, two grinding, one is taken and one is left, becomes so much a reality. They were both grinding. They were both working in the field. Why was the one chosen and the other not? Well, where I sit in my 67 years, I too often see a church within a church. I see a church within a church. It's serious. See, we all have choices. There's a noted columnist, George Will, who wrote about Barry Bonds enhancing his sportsmanship with illicit drugs. Now, sometime in life, I was a sportsman. Most of you have been. You've done something that is very dogmatic and demanding in your life. You've trained yourself to do something. Maybe it was in the very, very early days, but you did it. And we do have choices, as it says, lonely submission to sustained discipline or exertion. And I would run mile after mile after mile. I'd go up the hills of Altadena and back down them. I was working the calves both ways so that I could be a strong runner. I worked hard at it. I didn't take drugs. My mainline drug was raw whole milk. Drank a gallon each lunch. Seemed to help, didn't hurt. That was my drug. But we know in our news there are so many that take drugs to enhance their strengths. There's no way you can enhance your strength in godly character by taking drugs. Some quotes. John Beckley is, I looked him up. I was really surprised at some of the names that I found attached to some of these quotes. Horace Greeley, John Gow. The character of a nation depends on the character of its people. If we don't change our ways, this isn't going to be the kind of country it used to be. Late 1700s. He was a politician after a while. He started life as a 14-year-old sent from London to the New World by his dad so he could make a good income. And so he became indentured in the mercantile industry. He rose to be the first president of our Library of Congress. Quite a notable man. And there he was in the later 1700s, early 1800s, saying, "We're losing." Horace Greeley, a town in Colorado named for him, "Fame is a vapor, popularity an accident. Riches take wings, they all do fly away. Only one thing endures, and that is character." Reputation is but for a time. Character is for eternity. Now, these men were, in somebody's definition, godly men. I don't think in the sense of God defining them as his men. But let's say they were Christians. They knew the difference between right and wrong. And there's many people that you run into in life that know the difference between right and wrong. And these are good people. But good people are not necessarily holy people who have developed holy, righteous character. Godly character consists of these things or comments. We need character to best use our spiritual gifts. Now, keep in mind, and it can be easily confused if you just give it a whim of a thought and don't really think about it, but there is a difference between the fruits of the Spirit and spiritual gifts, or if we would put it that way, and righteous character. Love is a gift, and it can be part of your character, but the two work together. So remember when you're reading through Galatians 5 that there is some difference. Godly character consistently does right things for right reasons. True character is the capacity and willingness to find what is right. And to do what is right when nobody is looking. God is looking for us to reflect His character as Christ did. Christ is the summation of what is the way to live. What is godly character? Is it doing right or doing rituals? I mentioned before some rituals like baptism, Passover, keeping the feast days, keeping the Sabbath, being mindful of sunset, being mindful of what's on your plate and what you will not eat, being mindful of many things. What does God say about eating something that's not good for you, that you shouldn't eat? Well, it might make you sick, but it'll just go out into the toilet. Is something else. In the middle where these two circles intersect, there is a little bit of a golden atmosphere there. And that's where the gold is found. It's doing rituals for the right reasons and realizing that right is more important than ritual. It is that very topic that has a lot of the Western world confused. A lot of God's people are confused. They'll spend so much time enamored with topics such as Sabbath keeping. Here in our congregation, I've talked about language. They spend so much time with those things that are ritualistic. They become overshadowing the things that are right. You know, Hebrews 1:3 that I just mentioned to you talks about Christ who being the brightness of His glory in the express image of His person. Hebrews 1:3. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's how our elder brother Jesus Christ is. And for that to be a true statement, and that we are then understanding that his very image is what we're trying to emulate, we find ourselves in a very wonderful place. So we have rituals, we have doing right. It says here about godly character in 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, His divine power has He given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So what He has given to us, we can understand godliness by being partakers. You take of this, of the divine nature. Divine nature is godly character. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Lust, jealousy, vanity, greed, these get in the way of godly character. So I have 7 requirements for building godly character that you need to understand. 7 requirements. I have 7 little icons here on the screen for you. Top left is free moral agency. The calendar with 27 is time. The hiker is going through his trials. The magnifying glass helps us focus on the fact that there are no little things. The ruler helps us understand right standards. Sign is self-control. The red check mark follow the right example. So let's look at the first requirement, free moral agency. The scripture says, Deuteronomy 30:19, you know well, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. We have choices. We have free moral agency. Even in this last year, I've had people ask me about free moral agency. They don't understand that it is their choice to make. You can decide to do right or wrong. I wish you to do what is right, as this scripture from Deuteronomy 30 says, and I wish that for myself. I'm well in touch enough with myself that I know I don't always choose right. And I have to acknowledge I have free moral agency and I sin. And you must do the same thing. Acknowledge your free moral agency. That you have the choice to do right and wrong, and understand when you choose wrong. A couple of quotes. Our character is but a stamp on our minds of the free choices of good and evil we have made through life. You have a character stamp, just like a rubber stamp, just like if you rubber stamped your forehead, good character, bad character. And you go home and at night wash it off, and in the morning start all over again. Harold Stoner says, remove the chance to fail, and we shall miss one of the best means of a developing character. Wonderful thoughts. True thoughts. Good men said them. Are they going to be with you in the kingdom? I don't know. I don't know them. All I know is you and me. Will you and I be in the kingdom together? So we have free moral agency. Confront it. That's one of the very important and basic requirements in building godly character. Recognize the photo? National Geographic some time ago. The young girl from Afghanistan was 12. Those sharp green eyes, just unbelievable beauty for a 12-year-old. Character contributes to beauty. It fortifies a woman as her youth fades. A mode of conduct, a standard of courage, discipline, fortitude, integrity. These can do a great deal to make a woman beautiful. Jacqueline Bisset, or Bisset. The body fades. I know that. But what's inside that will last for eternity? What kind of beauty is inside? We look on the outward appearance. We look at how we are framed. God looks inside. Christ talked about how People are buried, but inside their tombs are just decaying old bones. Go on to the second requirement, time. How much time do you have to do this? Developing holy, righteous character. There is no such thing as instant character. There's instant coffee. I have some little bags that I have here and there, some in the car, little lemon and lime crystals that are instant. You put them in water and they dissolve. Makes for beautiful tasting water. There's instant oatmeal. But there's no instant character. There is instances of you being a character like me. Psalms 90. And it says in verse 9, we finish our years like a sigh. When it comes to death, it's just a sigh. The funerals that I've gone to, people make light and remember good little stories and times of past and the time they did this and the time Grandpa did that. When it's all said and done and we leave, it's a knowledge that something has for sure passed away. It goes on to say in 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. They are 80. Yet they boast in only labor and sorrow. For it is soon we are cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's on in verse 12. I have recently discovered putting everything together. You know, we've moved a few times. And I put everything together. I've got 5 pocket watches. Not a one was ever mine in the sense that I bought it, and that was my pocket watch. They're from relatives and relatives of relatives, and I've got 5 pocket watches. I took them down and found out that they're worth something to someone. But the pocket watches, you know, they tell time. And a few of them, you're kind of amazed that they're still keeping accurate time. No, there's no such thing as instant character. There are 7,000 years for the development of mankind. And in that, God has given us 4 distinct covenants to enable the establishment of His government here on earth. Now, He could have done it overnight, and He could have done it dramatically and drastically. He could have done it with Adam and Eve. Except there wasn't a way to get character on a shoehorn and put it inside of them. I really enjoyed reading this quote. And here's a picture of Madam Chiang Kai-shek. In 1941, she said this. Like the markings on wood, which are ingrained in the very heart of the tree. Character requires time and nurture for growth and development. Thus also day by day we write our own destiny, for inexorably we become what we do. A lady of the Orient who understood that what makes you takes a long time. We move on to the third requirement, trials. If all these things came so easy, what would we learn? If there weren't trials to teach us things. A few quotes. G.H. Lewes, character is built out of circumstances. From exactly the same materials, one man builds palaces, while another builds hovels. What are your trials building then? First Corinthians 3:11-15 say, "For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The fire will test each one's work of what sort it is, as through fire." For some reason, my wife asked me on the way over, "What's the definition of dross?" It's useless. It's what's left over after they've made the metals. It's so much dirt and maybe even less than dirt. It's useless. But they take in the talks of in the Bible in Ezekiel 22, I was reading to her about all the metals that we have that we enjoy that make for our spoons, our wheels on our cars, the dentures in our mouths, all these things we need metal for. But to come up with those metals, they have to go through that purification stage. There has to be trials. First Peter 1:7, that the genuineness of our faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. 1 Peter 1:7. And as you know, in verses 12 through 13, chapter 4, same book, 1 Peter 4:12-13. "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial." Now, we wear that verse tightly because it's in the Bible and we're Bible readers. We're Bible thumpers. But the same thing applies to people who don't know the Bible. They'd only learn about things because they go through the aggravation of trials. So that comment from 1 Peter 1:7 and also 4:12-13 really speak to all mankind. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. Please don't call your kid that if it's ever born. You get a boy, don't call him that. "Talent is nurtured in solitude." Yeah, you learn to play the violin like Ivan. You go to your room, kid, and practice your violin. Georgia told him that 34 times a day. I don't know. She must have said it once. "Go to your room and practice." It's too loud out here. You're not doing it right. Go to your room and close the door and practice. How many times did any of you that practiced a sport like basketball just practice? How many times did you find yourself doing something like some special needlework that you had to practice and practice with? "But character is formed in the stormy billows of the world." There are trials that we must go through. Onward we march. Character isn't built on ease, success, $1 million or a happy life. Just because someone has so much, like Tiger Woods with his $10 million yacht anchored off Miami, that doesn't mean he has character. And I don't think I have to explain it to you. He's a great golfer and he practiced a long time. But it goes on to say, mainly through pain, sorrow, and adversity are the bricks fashioned which can erect an enduring edifice. A woman named Faith Baldwin, and I've got a little cutout there of the wolf with the three little pigs. The final house was made out of brick. And we want you to have a brick house. And so work at trials. Now, bricks are made by going through fire. The fourth requirement is focus. There are no little things. Focus on the fact that there are no little things. Nothing is unimportant. Everything counts. Some of you are rather concerned about the water you drink, I would think. And you don't want water that has a little pollution in it. Because little by little, it'll add up. Your body might be overcome by it. It may not be able to throw out all the pollutants. So you're careful about your water. You're careful about what you take in. And even a little bit of water that's not the right water can hurt you. For one summer that I spent in Israel, I was off by myself, away from many other people for a few weeks, and there was a cholera epidemic in a place. Maybe it wasn't an epidemic, but there was cholera in the next block down in a well. All the water that was had there was from wells. So we couldn't drink water, or we wouldn't drink water. You could drink water. I drank Nesher. Nesher in Hebrew means eagle. And that's a brand of beer. So as a 20-year-old, I had the nasty job of having to drink beer morning, noon, and night for about a week. Somebody had to do it. This is going out on the webcast, isn't it? Well, Brady made me do it. But I had to focus on not drinking any water. And the whole way you start to think about everything, brushing teeth, washing hands, the whole thing becomes... Wow, water. Water. You need, you know, it's part of life. Just as an oak tree grows from a little acorn, so does great character grow from a great many decisions that may at the time seem very minor. Things just don't count sometimes. And there's a lot of people with age that didn't think it would really matter. A Japanese proverb: the reputation of 1,000 years may be determined, by the conduct of 1 hour. Horace Bushnell: there has never been a great or beautiful character which has not become so by filling well the ordinary and small offices appointed by God. All the little things that you do in life, if they're filled with a godliness, we move on into the next one here, the fifth requirement, right standards. Right is always right. Wrong is always wrong. It doesn't change. Isaiah 55, 7 through 9 says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The right thoughts are from above. Christ-centered, kingdom-focused. Character is like a rifle. It cannot shoot higher than it is aimed. You want to aim high for character, you have to shoot high. Go high. Character is what a man is in the dark, when no one can see. Theodore Roosevelt, "To educate a man in mind and not in morals is to educate a menace to society." Now there's a good man. He did a lot of good. He was used fantastically by God. The way he became president. His predecessor killed by gunfire and disease that set in afterwards. His presidency that established our national park system, the Panama Canal. He died early compared to what people would think. But he understood that there were certain people that were a menace to life. Francis Parker says, "The end and aim of all education is the development of character." Well, that's how it should be, but that isn't how it is. Daniel Webster, "If we work upon our lives, if we imbue them with just principles of action, with fear of wrong and love of right, the right standard, we engrave on those tables something which no time can obliterate and which will brighten and brighten through all eternity." If you have that right standard, you then have something that is eternal. That is part of your eternal character. Honesty is the pure gold bullion of integrity. He stands upright, no matter how great the storm that breaks over him. He is courageously true in action and expression. The man of high integrity does not have his price. He can never be bought. There are people that have been bought. You know some. Do you know of any that have been part of your family in the congregation? That's for you to think about. Do you know of anybody that has sold their soul for position, for fame, fortune? We move on to number six, self-control. Self-control. Children can't have perfect character. They don't have enough liberty. Parents control much of what they do. Here is an Asian that had a famous quote from the 1800s. I believe it was 1800s. He who gains victory over other men is strong, but he who gains a victory over himself is all-powerful. Self-control. Now, once in a while, we run across people who can always seemingly do what is right. And we feel a little embarrassed because of the sense of strength that they have, the fortitude to always do what is right. And they know then that there's times when they must stop. And as we think about it, life is then like a quarry out of which we are to mold and chisel and complete a character. Same old guys, Johann Wolfgang von Goethe. When my father gave a sermonette years ago, I remember it, I was just a boy. He was speaking in Squaw Valley, California, and his point was, do you know how you make an elephant out of a piece of marble? And the answer was, well, you chip away all the pieces that don't look like an elephant. And that's what we do when we're building godly character. We chip away everything that is not godly. Romans talks about this, you know it well, in chapter 7. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. How to perform what is good I don't find. Who will deliver me from this body of death? He then says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. In that section of Scripture, verses 14 through 25, is well read in most of our Bibles. Onto the seventh requirement, follow the right example. There's none of us that can ever come up on this stage and say, I'm the right example. The perfect example is Jesus. He is the only perfect example. For to this you were called, because Christ, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. You then try to imitate Christ. Follow the right example. Peter talks about it, 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. As obedient children, not conform yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as it is written, be holy as I am holy. Importance of example. Here we have a young family pictured with hands clasped and praying. And this gives me opportunity to say one small thing, and it's personal. But I generally, or my wife and I, don't generally hold hands with people when we pray. We haven't found it in the Bible, it's the only reason. We have found where it's done in other circumstances in life that are unholy. Seances. You put it on if you want. If you don't, don't. But children are unlikely to follow exactly in their parents' footsteps. But children will travel more easily over bridges which their parents regularly use. Do you think the young boy will be praying when he grows to be a man? If you pray with your children, they learn the value of prayer. If you talk with your children, they learn the value of discussion with you. And they learn how to discuss things with their folks. What we have taught our children is what our children teach their children. Whose child are you? Who has taught you? So those seven requirements, free moral agency, time, trials, there are no little things to have the right standards, self-control, and follow the right example are very important. Some of you may have looked on our closed group on Facebook called United Church of God Central Florida. Anybody here look at that? A couple of you. If you write me a note on Facebook, I can put you on it so you can get into it. But if you went there, you'd see that the title of the sermon is, What Do You Leave When You Die? Those of you who take notes about titles, there it is. The answer to the riddle. A record of your character. We'll have a closing hymn and prayer, a short break, and then Mr.